This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, the city is New York City. I think some of you have heard of it, at least. Years ago, they had a scandal that was pretty big, made the papers all over the country. They had the typical restaurant health inspectors in New York City who would go around and inspect the various restaurants of New York City. And somebody started noticing, several people did, that some of the health inspectors who made just an average salary for New York City, I'm sure it was above grade for here because of the cost of living, but some of them were driving very expensive cars and sports cars. Some of them were wearing the Rolex watches and expensive diamond jewelry. And somebody started asking questions, what's going on here? How can these health inspectors drive the high-end cars and wear the Rolex watches? Well, here's what they found out. A health inspector would go into a restaurant in New York City and say, I can shut you down for 3 days just by filling out a piece of paper. It's all I have to do. And you were closed. No questions asked. Nobody will question me. No one will hassle me. You'll be closed for 3 days. How much do you make in 3 days? He said, I can work with you. You take a white envelope and you put X number of $100 bills in that envelope and just hand it to me and I'll slip out the door and you won't see me for another year. Well, finally somebody caught on what was going on and there was a scandal and people went to jail, etc., and were prosecuted. And you say, what in the world? Why would you tell that story in reference to the message today? For this reason. The man we study today was hated worse than those health inspectors. Can you imagine what a shock it would have been if a year later, after those health inspectors had been to various restaurants in New York City, if they went back to the restaurant and said, I defrauded you. Here's the money. I'm not only going to give you the $500, I'm going to give you $1,000, I'm going to give you $1,500 back. They would have been shocked. And yet we're going to read about a man by the name of Matthew, or Levi, Matthew as in the Gospel of Matthew, who was a tax collector. And I'm going to explain to you why tax collectors were the most hated people in Israel in their day, not because they had any connection with the IRS or whatever. It's a totally different system, and I'll explain that in a minute. And Jesus goes up to this man named Matthew. He's right at his booth. And Jesus just says, Matthew, follow me. And all Luke says is that he put down everything he had, and the only thing he took with him was his pen. And he followed Jesus and became one of the apostles. We'll talk about that. It's a powerful story. I want you to hear it as we continue in our series, Luke chapter 5, verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi, or Matthew, got up, left everything, and followed him. When Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to Jesus, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Listen to that again. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them. Somebody came today just to hear this verse. He really did. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, or the self-righteous is the word I would use, but sinners to repentance. I have not come to call the righteous or self-righteous, but sinners to repentance.
We'll continue this message on Cross Hope tomorrow. That's crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
Let me give you a little more background on the tax collectors. I love what Dr. Leroy Lawson from Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, writes about it. To his fellow Jews, a tax collector was scum. It's pretty blunt, isn't it? To his fellow Jews, a tax collector was scum, a tool of Rome, a servant of the hated King Herod, handler of filthy money stamped with pagan inscriptions and pagan images. A tax collector usually deserved his reputation as a money grubber. Yet Jesus, with his astonishing disregard for reputation, that's an important statement. Several people pointed that out. Disregard for reputation. Invited such a social outcast to follow him. He didn't even demand that Matthew change his ways first. Did you catch that? Jesus didn't walk up to the tax booth and say, hey pal, you got a lot of stuff going on in your life and you need to clean up your act and you need to get your act together. He didn't. He said, follow me. Why? He knew change would follow. That's a word for somebody today. You've always thought it was up to you to change your life, and you don't do the changing the Lord does. You know what your job is? My job? Confess the sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he, meaning Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My job is to confess the sin. His job is to change me. You and I both need to get that straight today. Just want to talk about some verses, as I have been doing, just verse by verse, just to let it speak to you. I didn't even talk about this part of it. Well, I did talk about verse 28. Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. People say, do you really think it was that quick he heard Jesus say, follow me, and he did? I think that's possible. I don't have any problems believing that. But my theory is he probably had heard Jesus speak. He might have even seen him perform a miracle. He might have heard his ministry or heard of it, and that was just the right moment, just at the right time. And Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew said, I will. I will. That's what I believe happened. But here's what I didn't talk about. Verse 29, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Somebody said, well, why did he invite tax collectors? Let you in a little secret. Only people that would come. He wasn't popular with anybody. So the only people that would come to a dinner hosted by a tax collector would be other tax collectors and other people who were outcast from the culture. I really believe that. This is a rough group of people that were having dinner. And the Pharisees, the very spiritual, deeply religious people, say to the disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Eating and drinking with somebody in this day was even more important than it is today. You know what it meant? You accepted somebody. You know what it meant that you were endorsing a person to have a meal with somebody, that the only people you ate with, your family and friends. The business world's discovered this a long time ago, but there's something that happens over lunch that may not happen in a business meeting in an office. Barriers are down. People are more open to conversation. People are more open to humor. People are more open to just letting their hair down, so to speak, and let's just have a conversation over a meal. And I've asked this question rhetorically of every church I've served. Has it ever occurred to anybody here to have somebody over in your house just to talk to them about the Lord? No. Most people say no. So I'm not chastising anybody. I'm just saying that's been the response. It never occurs to people to use the experience of having a meal as an opportunity to minister to somebody.
We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
It never occurs to people to use the experience of having a meal as an opportunity to minister to somebody. Oftentimes people will call for counseling. I say, let's just meet for coffee somewhere. Let's just meet for lunch. And I'll buy. I don't always do that, but I do it sometimes. But there's a barrier that comes down and people are open to talking. In fact, sometimes people are more open to talking over a lousy meal than they are just sitting in an office somewhere talking to somebody. It's official, you know, official meeting. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus gives this powerful, powerful answer. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And you have Jesus' mission statement here. I have not come to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners to repentance. There's several things that come out of that. Jesus isn't interested in meeting the needs of self-righteous people. He really isn't. God's job description isn't to make you happy. I've actually met people that have said in so many words, isn't God's job to make sure that I get what I want? Isn't it God's job to make sure we drive the nicest car? Isn't it God's job to make sure we get that house? No. Jesus said, I came to call people to repentance, which is the most important need in life. Your greatest need in life is not to be happy, it's to repent. And my greatest need to repent, which means to turn 180 degrees. Repentance isn't just feeling guilty. It's not just feeling sorry and saying, oh, I messed up. Repentance means turning 180 degrees. Literally, that's what the word means, to turn, to turn. I want to talk about self-righteous people. This surprised people in the first two services, but people can be an atheist and be self-righteous. I've met them. Some of the most self-righteous people I've ever met in my life have been atheists. I am proud that I'm an atheist. I'm so intellectually informed. And I am so proud of my intellect and my IQ and my station in life. And so you can be an atheist and be self-righteous. You can be a fundamental Bible-believing, go-to-church-every-Sunday type of Christian and be self-righteous. And I've met them too, and so have you. People who have the attitude, God, you're so lucky to have me. I hope you appreciate me. I hope you appreciate what I bring to the table. And I hope you appreciate our skill set and what we do and our personality. And the Lord says, I don't want to hear that. It's not why I came. I came to not call the self-righteous people, but to call sinners to repentance. God called you to repentance. That may be a word for somebody today. I've got news for you. It's a news flash. God called you to repentance, to turn. Let me tell you why. It's interesting. The very first message I did for Luke when I started this series, I did something probably that was awkward for some people. I started at the last chapter. I said, we're going to look at the last chapter, and I presented it like a prosecuting attorney presents a case when the prosecutor gets up in front of a courtroom. The first thing they do in the opening statement is say, we're going to prosecute this man, this woman here, and we're going to show you over the course of the trial this evidence, and we're going to show you beyond a reasonable doubt that this person committed this crime, committed this murder, or this robbery, whatever. And they state kind of a general overview of the case. So that's what I did with Luke 24, and it says in Luke 24, the last chapter, that Jesus came so that the message of forgiveness and repentance could be preached. That's why he came, repentance and forgiveness. Why? That's what you need, and that's what I need. It's the greatest need in your life is to be forgiven, not to be happy. You need to be forgiven. And so do I, and so do I. I told a story that I think blessed a lot of people. It's a simple story about a 3-year-old boy that really blessed my heart. It's told by Bill Wimmer from Benton, Arkansas. Listen to see if you can relate to it as a parent, maybe part of the story. On a warm summer night, my wife and I were traveling in our car with Micah, our 3-year-old son, who sat in the back seat. After many miles of driving in the darkness, we came to a stoplight at an intersection in a remote area, just a stoplight out in the middle of nowhere. And the only light, he said, that was there was the light of the stoplight and one street lamp that was above their car. So get the picture. They're driving through dark mile after mile, and they come to this intersection outside of town. The brightness of the traffic light and the street lamp revealed all of the dirt, the dead bugs, and the insects on our windshield. My 3-year-old Micah said, Dad, look how dirty. Look how dirty the window is. My wife and I didn't think much about his comment until a moment later when we drove on, away from the light, back into the darkness. Upon re-entering the darkness, we could no longer see the mess on the windshield, and Micah quickly piped up and said, Dad, the glass is clean now. The glass is clean now. I think you know where he went with the story and where I'm going with it. Some of you don't see the mess in your own life until you come to Christ. And I really mean that. And Jesus Christ and the light of Christ in your life and in my life will point out stuff. And you say, I thought I forgot about it. I thought I forgot about that. Something that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. And the Lord will bring something to mind and say, no, you never dealt with that. And time doesn't erase a sin. There's no time, you know, extension there where the Lord says, it's been 30 years, who cares? No, the Lord cares. And he will bring something to your mind that you never saw because the light showed what was on your windshield called your life. And the Lord has a way of doing that with you, and he has a way of doing it with me. He's done it with you, and he's done it with me. He's done it with me. What does that say to you? I want to go back to my original story, the story of the health inspectors, New York City. I didn't tell you this part. They not only extorted money out of people, but if the tax collectors would tell you, if you didn't have money, we've got a plan for you. I can lend you the money at 25% interest, 30% interest. So they were taking money, coming and going, and just like the guys working for the city of New York, stealing money, 500, 1,000 at a time or more. Just, I'll look the other way. Just give me an envelope full of money. God can use your life however he chooses to use it. Just remember that. But you know where it starts. I'm going to leave you with this. God's use of your life starts with the R word, repentance. Always has, always will. God working in my life starts with repentance. It's all about the forgiveness of sin. It's about repentance, turning and coming to the Lord. It's not about people coming to him and say, Lord, just make me happy. Just give me what I want. Give me the job I want. Give me the position I want. Give me the things I want. The Lord says, no, I've come to call people to repentance, you and me. You may say, well, I don't have a whole lot to repent. No, you may not. And I believe that's possible. But if you're a human being, you need forgiveness, and so do I. We all do. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, Romans says, is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, this message will conclude tomorrow on Cross Hope. A reminder, our website is crosshope.org.
I've never met a woman that I know of named Dodie, although somebody told me their mother's name was Dodie, D-O-D-I-E. Her last name was Gadient, G-A-D-I-E-N-T. She was a retired school teacher in California. As part of her retirement deal, she bought a fifth wheel, had a pickup truck and the trailer that you hook onto the back of the truck. And that was her retirement. She's just going to camp. What a depressing life to just camp. That's another story. I won't go there. She's on Interstate 5, just north of Los Angeles. Runs north and south. Many of you have been on Interstate 5, and her truck just stops. Pulls over to the side. It's in one of those freeways in California where there's not much of an emergency lane. Part of her fifth wheel was out in the lane, and cars were honking as they went by, and she's scared to death. She's going to get hit. And Dodie Gadiot would say all she could pray was, Lord, send me an angel. I need an angel. Just send somebody to help me. Nothing happened for several minutes, and finally a Harley Davidson pulled up, and a guy that she said literally looked like the quintessential Hell's Angel got off the bike, grabbed something out of a bag on his bike, didn't even say a word to her, never even spoke to her, went up to the front of the car and started working on the engine. She's scared to death. This guy's working on my car, and he's not saying a word. Finally comes back and says, you need a new water pump, I'll get it, just stay here, I'll be right back. He got a water pump. It took a couple of hours probably to do that. Didn't want a dime for it. The only thing he wanted was to be reimbursed for the water pump, whatever he paid for it. Still, no communication. She says, thanks. And he got on the bike, and as he was leaving, he said, don't ever judge a book by its cover. You don't always know who you're talking to. Kicked it in gear and took off up Interstate 5. It was a lesson for Dodie Gadiot. She prayed for an angel. She just didn't expect a Hell's Angel. That was the problem. She was expecting an angel, but not a Hell's Angel. And you say, why do you tell that story? For this reason. Be honest in your spirit. You have judged people like I have. You have dismissed people like I have. You have prejudged people like I have. And we put people in categories. Oh, he's a loser. She's a loser. What does he know? What does she know? And all I want to tell you is this, is that God can see something in that person that you'll never see. Why? Because he saw it in Matthew, the tax collector who is hated by the people. And the Lord said, saw something in him that he could use for the kingdom of God. And he did. Just like the Lord can see something in your life, in my life, and say, I can use that for the kingdom of God. Don't ever dismiss a person created by God. Just remember that. I'm not going to dismiss somebody created by God, knowing that God can do whatever he wants with whomever he wants, just like he did with Matthew. And Matthew would go on to write the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, a man who was hated. It's not a matter of comparative difference. You know, some people, we always want to compare ourselves with other people. Well, I'm better than my sister. I'm better than my brother. I'm better than my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law. And we can forget that. God doesn't operate with comparative difference. He operates with the cross. One sin is enough. D.L. Moody used to illustrate it this way. If you were holding a chain and a man's hanging on the other end over a cliff on a chain, how many links in the chain would have to break before the man would fall to his death? Somebody say it. One. That's all that has to happen. If I'm guilty of sinning once, I'm a sinner. You're guilty of sinning once, you're a sinner in need of forgiveness. Jesus calls people to repentance.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.